Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray that this podcast will help you on that journey.
Hope you had a great week. Beautiful weather. Amazing time to be alive. Let's just pray, and I want to share a few things with us today that trust the Lord will help us all with. So Lord, we just say thank you for your amazing everything. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness, Lord, as we were just singing about your blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We just say it again, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us personally. Each one of us that you were thinking of, hanging on the cross, dying, paying for our freedom, paying for our sin, paying for our eternity with you, paying for our ability to have friendship with you. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, thank you for sending your spirit to live inside of us. Thank you for renewing us and helping us in every way. And Lord, we invite you, Holy Spirit, even in this moment, into these words and into this atmosphere, that you would speak to us, that you would help us, Holy Spirit, that you would grow us, continue to grow us more and more like you, more and more into your image, more and more looking like you than ever before. Lord, we're asking for that, we give you ourselves. We even just say now, we give you ourselves afresh and anew, our bodies, our minds, our future, our hopes, our dreams, our family, our spouse, our children. We give all to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for taking such great care of us. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, you know, in looking at everything around us, especially creation, I don't know about you, but I am amazed. I continually am amazed and in awe of what God has made. When you look at whether it's a towering tree and the thought, and I think about these things a lot, that this came from a tiny little seed, and here it has tens of thousands of pounds of weight and strength and stability with beauty growing into the sky and seeing these leaves, especially they're changing colors right now. When I consider the millions, actually trillions of stars, no one has any idea really how many there are, how many planets there are, or even how many galaxies there are full of all of these. All of this, the magnificence, the size, the scale, all of the galaxies, the fine tuning of the universe, where everything is tuned absolutely perfectly. The perfection of our Earth with its tilt, rotation, protective magnetic field. You know, that's what the northern lights are, our magnetic field lighting up when the rays are hitting from the sun, the radiation's hitting that magnetic field, and it lights up as beautiful to us, but it's actually a protection for our Earth. The atmosphere that we have with the air that we breathe that's just right for us to be alive. I think of the storm systems drawing water up from the oceans, carrying them across the land, dumping the water, and that whole cycle of life there with water. Just it goes on and on and on. You look around, and there are miracles everywhere that you look. Everything that God made is spectacular. The sunsets, the sunrises, the creatures in the deep, the birds by the hundreds and thousands and millions, and all the different shapes and sizes and colors, and that they can actually fly. All of the animals. I've done many, many safaris in Africa, and they never get old. They never get old. Every time I do one, I'm just amazed at these incredible creatures. From the lions to the giraffes and the hippos and then the crocs and even the big snakes. All that stuff is just amazing what God has made. And I think of even gravity, this invisible force holding everyone on the ground so that we're not just floating and disappearing. Just done perfectly. We're the perfect distance from the sun, which is 93 million miles away. We're a little bit closer, we get burned up. A little bit further away, we freeze. Everything is in rhythm and in sync that God has made, the entire universe. And then, of course, even more so when you look at a human being, the sophistication, the formation of a baby and an adult. You realize our brains, every brain in each one of us, it's the most sophisticated thing in the entire universe is the human brain. The most sophisticated thing in the entire universe is your brain. You probably didn't think that, but it is incredible. All that does, we don't even have a full understanding of all that everything does with our brains. The eyes, the complexity of our eyes. We see 10 million different colors, and the design of these eyes, the vascular system in our bodies. When you're an adult, you have around 60,000 miles of blood vessels and veins. 60,000 miles, every single person. I mean, it is just phenomenal looking at everything that is, that God made, causes a person, it should, to go, there is a God. There is no way that all this is happenstance. Just came from nothing, from a blob of something. Where did the blob come from, right? But you look at the complexity and the design down to the DNA level of humans especially. It is a magnificent creative machine going on the inside, forming all these building blocks of our lives. Everything is by design. Romans says that there is not one person who has an excuse to not believe that there is a God. Not one person. We are all without excuse. You can say, well, I want to see God. If I'm going to believe that he's, oh my goodness. Creation is God's second book. And the Bible talks about creation is, it is projecting the reality of a living God. It is evangelizing. Creation is an evangelist to say there is a living God. And then for us, realizing not only is there God, but that he is love. It's the essence of who he is. He doesn't have some, he is. And that he loves us and hand-formed us to look like him, made in his image, then gave us his son, as we've been talking about and singing about this morning, to give his own life and his own blood for our cleansing, our forgiveness, our wholeness, our freedom, our eternal life. He gave everything. While we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Before we were ever born, any of us in here, Jesus already paid the price fully for us to be born again, to be renewed, and then to live forever with him. And then we get the Holy Spirit, God himself, moving from heaven into your chest. Into your heart, God himself, the helper. We are so greatly privileged. It's actually unfair. I'll tell you, there is no believer on the planet that should ever feel a victim. Even those who are in slavery today. As horrible as that is, on the other hand, when you think of what God has done for us, yes, we might be a victim in certain areas, but overall, we have been so blessed. We have been so privileged. We have an unfair advantage in that we have been given God himself to live on the inside of us, to make us what we could not be ourselves, and to be able to live forever and into eternity. Thank you, Lord. I want to read Romans chapter 12. The first couple of verses here, I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation here. It says, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? Some of those mercies I was just talking about, of what he's done for us, of the grace he's given to us, of the freedom he's given to us. He answers the question here. To surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices. What should be our response to the magnificence of God and all that he's done, but to give our lives not as sacrifices like Jesus gave his life. We don't have to die physically, but we can die to ourselves, to our selfishness, so that we can surrender ourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices, and live in holiness. That's a beautiful word, by the way. Holiness is a beautiful word. I know the religious spirit would make that thing seem really no fun. But holiness is spectacular. To live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship. And then verse 2, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. One of the things that always bothers me is when Christians take something that the world comes up with and sanitizes it and then calls that Christian, and it's not creative at all. Ah, I don't like that. We are made in the image of God. We should be more creative than anything the world comes up with, right? We are not supposed to just sanitize and do exactly what they're doing. No. God has given us a higher way to live. Not imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around us, but be inwardly transformed. Inwardly transformed. Be inwardly transformed. It's very similar to us allowing ourselves to be transformed. There is a choice there. There's a participation that we have in the transformation of ourselves. We don't have the power to do it, but we have the power to stop it or to allow it by the Holy Spirit. Inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that can transform us. But he's available to not just live on the inside of us, but while he's living in there, to do a whole lot. To transform us from the inside out to something we've never been before. Through a total reformation of how you think. Transformation comes, in many ways, by this beautiful mind being renewed. When our mind is renewed, our spirit man, our inward being is transformed. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. So we're not to imitate the culture around us. We're not to live like the culture around us. The culture around us is upside down. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And some cultures are worse than other cultures. But the worldly culture, the worldly way of thinking is upside down. It calls what is really good evil. And it calls what is really evil good. And we see that throughout our culture, right? Things that are really evil that God would call evil, the culture says, highlights these. These are great. These are good. This is what you should be doing. This is how you should be behaving. It's the wrong way. So the Lord's saying, don't imitate those things. Don't absorb the culture around you. When you become born again, that means you are being separate from the world that you used to live in the way of thinking. And you are set apart, as Colossians says, taken from a system of darkness and brought into a kingdom of light. going from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, to the kingdom of the Son. And God's desire is for you and I to not just be saved eternally, that was a part of what he paid for, but we've been made in his image, and he wants us to think like him. He wants us to live like Jesus. Do you realize that? I know people will say to me, yeah, but the Bible says, out of Isaiah and Jeremiah, the Bible talks about the way God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And that's true. But that was, guess what, old covenant before he moved on the inside. His desire is for our thoughts to be his kind of thoughts and for our ways to be his ways. There's a transformation. We're not living in the old covenant without the Holy Spirit, right? We're in the new covenant, not bound by a culture of sin, not bound by a world system, not bound by sin, but filled with the Spirit of God to live like Jesus lives, to think like Jesus thinks. A total reformation is God's desire for each of us. I'm continually, no matter how many times I think about this, when I think about a butterfly, what it was. I mean, a caterpillar at one point, completely stuck to the ground, not looking up, only looking right in front of him, eating grass or whatever it eats, and then climbing up and in this chrysalis, melting down, literally, to liquid, being reformed, then breaking out of that, and all of a sudden has wings. I mean, this is nuts. That is incredible. And now you have this beautiful creature that used to only could crawl, now flying and flittering and beautiful. It has equipment it didn't have before. It can now take flight. And now it's looking up and around, eats different things, lives differently, completely separate from the culture it came from of being on the ground. Here's another one of my favorite creatures is the dragonfly. I love dragonflies. Do you realize that they're very similar to a butterfly? They call it an incomplete metamorphosis because it only does 3 stages instead of 4. But yet, a dragonfly basically is birthed in the water, and it lives underwater. It's eating tadpoles. It's going after things in the water. And then all of a sudden, at some point, it crawls up, and it also transforms. Wings form, 4 of them. And it has eyes that can see basically 360 degrees. All around its head. They're just right dead center in the, behind them is the only little place they can't see. They can look, all, and they are master hunters. They absolutely crush mosquitoes and flies. 2 things I hate. Dragonflies are incredible. They can hover. They can go backwards, forwards, 30 miles an hour. Master hunters, and what they used to be was a little thing swimming around in the water. And now they have been completely changed. They have new equipment, new abilities. They can see differently than they've ever seen before. And when the Bible uses, even in this passage we just read, about being transformed, it's pointing to a metamorphosis type of experience where you and I, however we used to be, we are not that way anymore. Our thoughts are different. The equipment we have is different. Our abilities are different. What we used to feed on, we no longer feed on that anymore. What we used to do, we no longer do that anymore. We're living a completely different life. We flew away from our old culture that we used to live in. We live in a new culture, a kingdom culture, where we see things clearly, We can see all around. We can see what is real and what's not real. Our thoughts are above and not beneath. That is who we are called to be, every single one of us. And we need to change and be renewed, have a renewed mind. Some of the things that make me sad is when I meet a Christian who's been a Christian for 40 years and they're still thinking and living like they were before they met Jesus. They received Jesus only for salvation rather than allow the Holy Spirit to transform them into a different being. We are supposed to be changing, how often? From glory to glory. Changing from glory to glory. I mean, if you knew me 10 years ago, my hope is that you could say, Matt, you're different than you used to be. I hope you can say that. I want that. And the same for you. May it be that you are different and I'm much different than we used to be. Changing from glory to glory into his image every day, more and more. Looking more like Jesus all the time. Behaving like Jesus more and more all the time. Not just the same old Matt, but a Matt that's being renewed. His thinking is different. His thinking is renewed. Remember when Jesus was in the boat with his disciples and the storm hits and he crawls down, however deep this is, I'm not sure how deep the boat is, he gets to the front and he's sleeping, the only time we find the Son of God sleeping. Not at night when everyone else is sleeping, but during a storm on this boat, that's when Jesus is sleeping. And his disciples feel as though they are going to die. That's how bad the storm is. They wake him up. Jesus, wake up. We've never seen you sleep before, but wake up. They probably have. But they wake him up, and they said to him, they ask him a question. Do you not care if we perish? It's like an accusation. Don't you care that we are all about to die? Jesus' response was a rebuke, and he took action. His rebuke was, where is your faith? Come on, how long have you been around me now? How long have we been doing some stuff together? I was expecting you to behave differently in the middle of a crisis, in the middle of a storm. This was Jesus' answer. And then he rebuked the storm. It calmed down. Everything changed. Jesus somehow was expecting a different response from his followers in that moment. I think he expects a different response from me oftentimes in situations. Like, come on, Matt. How long have we been doing this? How long have we had this walk? Don't be afraid. Doesn't matter what it is. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. And there's some things we need to go after and rebuke, not just let happen, right? But that is having a renewed mind. If my mind is renewed to think like him, then I live like him and respond like him. Paul writes to the Thessalonians this thing. He says to some of the Thessalonians, he says, hey, you know, if you've got people in your fellowship and they are unwilling to work, they're able-bodied, they're unwilling to work, then they shouldn't be able to eat. What? Now, our culture says we should give free food to every single person on the planet. The Bible says, you know what? We need, if you're an able-bodied person, you need to employ yourself. Get employed. Work. But that is a kingdom type of mentality, not a worldly culture mentality. So the scripture is so filled with kingdom thoughts and ideas. When James and John asked Jesus, Lord, there's some folks over there, they're not doing things like we're doing them. Would you like us to send a prayer to the Father that he would send fire down on them and kill them and burn them up? What do you think, Lord? That's in the Bible. James and John, that's what they requested of Jesus. Would you like us to burn these guys up? Jesus says, your thinking is all wrong. Your thinking's all wrong. You don't know what kind of spirit is working inside of you right now. It's not the Holy Spirit. That's a wrong spirit. He rebukes them. He adjusts their thinking. Their minds are not renewed all the way yet. They've still got some ways to go, just as we do. When they're asking him, should you pay taxes? And I've talked to some Christians who are adamantly against paying any taxes. In fact, I know a couple, they probably should be in jail, to be honest. And I'm serious. I'm not joking on that one. I know one who actually did go to jail for about 7 years. But they asked Jesus that question. This is ridiculous. We're paying taxes. Why, you know, should we do this? Jesus says, show me a coin. Whose image is on the coin? Well, that's Caesar's image. Then give to Caesar what is Caesar's money. Pay your taxes. But give to God the things that are God's. Whose image is on you? God. So give to him a living sacrifice of yourself. Give yourself to God. Give your money to Caesar or Uncle Sam in our case. Jesus is setting things. He's giving us mindsets that are godly mindsets, kingdom mindsets, not worldly mindsets. A renewed mind thinks this way. Not that you are a sinner walking around waiting to sin, but that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus wherever you go. The righteousness of God. That's a renewed mind. If you think every day, oh my goodness, I'm just barely saved by grace. I'm just barely making it through. I mean, I could just fall off the ledge at any moment. No, that is not a renewed mind. A renewed mind is, look what Jesus has done for me. He did it one time for all time. I am cleansed. He's washed me. I am saved and I am righteous. He calls me his righteousness because of Jesus. So I'm walking around with confidence, not gloomy, not negative, not staring down like a caterpillar all the time. But we can fly because I have been born again. I am in the family. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. My mind is renewed. All things are possible to the person that believes. The King lives inside of me. Anything's possible today. That is a renewed mind. A renewed mind does not think that you are just a blob of evolved cells with no purpose. Right? A renewed mind says, oh my goodness, God handcrafted you in your mother's womb, gave you purpose, has been thinking about you before you're ever born, and has every day planned out for you that you're about to live once you breathe your first breath. He's got it all figured out with purpose and intent and design. And he saved you the best wine for last. That's kingdom mindset. That's renewed thinking. God has made all of this, made us, but then gave us this free will. And leaves it to us to desire him, leaves it to us to want him, leaves it to us to yield to him, to allow his work in us. It's like you have the best physician in the world standing there right, ready to go. And he leaves it to us to say, okay, come on and do whatever you need to do. Operate. Have your way working on me to give me the way of thinking that you want me to think, to change me into who you want me to be. He has given us beautiful minds. It's interesting, I've seen this parallel is, you know, what your mouth is to your stomach, your mind is to your spirit. So what you feed into your mouth goes to your stomach, feeds you. What you put in here in your mind feeds your spirit man. with either good food or bad food. Just like your body's either fed good food or bad food. We can feed our minds and our spirit man can thrive and grow and be renewed. Or we can feed it lousy things. Like in the culture, there's part of the culture you and I live in right now is, I forgot the guy's name who coined this, but he said, right now, in the last, let's say, 15 years, nearly every person in America is discipled by the internet. We've all been discipled by the internet. And we're looking up things instantly. We're getting information instantly. We're feeding on so many thousands of things and feeds from other people. We're being discipled by the internet. Where the design was that we would be discipled by the word. That we would feed on, meditate on, the words of God. And allow the Holy Spirit to use those words to transform us to flying creatures who are living above and not beneath, who see themselves as the head and not the tail. We need to be discipled by the Word of God. I want to encourage every person to eat with your mind the words of God every day. Every day, to meditate on the words of God. You can do that so many different ways. There's technology, it's great as well. I love the written Bible that we have, the Bibles that we have. We can flip through them. I love that probably the most. The digital stuff is great too. I will often, while I'm driving especially, be playing the Bible. I rarely listen to music while I'm driving or any radio or podcast. I'm usually hitting play on the Bible. So I can hear someone else say it. And what usually happens is something will hit me. He'll keep reading, but I'm thinking about what he just said. And my mind goes to something else related to the scripture. But we can feed on the words of God and be renewed by the Holy Spirit using his word. But we have to have that input. Feeding on the word of God. Jeremiah said, I ate your word. I ate them. And it became to me something wonderful, beautiful, tasty. Like honey to me when I was feeding on the words of God. Colossians 3 verse 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Not what the caterpillars used to eat. Set your mind on things above. Things above, the things that God has said, the ways of the Spirit, the eternal principles, the kingdom of heaven. Think on those things. In the Passion Translation, the same verse says, yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm. Feast, I love that. Feast on all the treasures in the heavenly realm. And fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Fill your thoughts, feast on heavenly realities. What is more real than what we see? The kingdom of heaven, Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, heaven. Things that our eyes have not seen yet. Think about those things. Fill our thoughts with those things. And be intentional. We have to be intentional. With everything, I would say nearly everything good in life, we have to be intentional about pursuing it. Whether it's our relationship with our spouse, to have date nights or good conversations or share love. There's intentionality that has to come with that. There's intentionality if you want to get in shape. If you want to exercise, lose some weight, gain muscle, whatever that is, there's intentionality that has to be put in place for that. It's the same with our spirit man. We have to be intentional to feed our minds, to meditate on the words of God. And it will give us a separation from the culture of the world, which we desperately need. Philippians 4:8 says, this is in the Passion as well, so keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. That's one of the things that creation does for me is that very thing. Helps me to instantly start thinking about God making that thing, and then thinking about how magnificent God is, how awesome he is, and then thankfulness starts flowing. Thank you, God, for what you've made. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the beauty that you've created. I'm fastening my thoughts on you. And when we do that, it also causes a sense of peace over our entire being, a peace in our mind. You start thanking God instead of whatever, complaining or thinking about negative things or being discipled by the internet. One of the things I have to be careful of personally is reading too much news. That's just personally. I find myself gravitating to reading about news going on all over the place. I don't watch it, I read it. But I need to not read as much of that stuff. It's often wrong, for one, and it often is not encouraging. And I need to feed more on heavenly realities, fixing my thoughts on what's real, authentic, honorable, admirable, beautiful, respectful, pure, and holy. I went rock climbing a couple of times in my life, and I was really thankful, and I was very much paying attention to how they secured that rope at the top of that rock. I was absolutely watching. I went with guys who knew what they were doing. I liked them, I trust them, but I was also verifying. They secured that rope at the top because you go to rappel off a rock cliff, you need to know that you're fastened onto the right thing because your life depends on that fasten. And it's the same in our spirit life. What are you fastening your minds on? I'm fastening it on the words of God, what he says, what is true, what is right, what is real, what is holy, what is beautiful. And it's fastened on there, I can rappel down into the world for a while and live life and do what we need to do and do all those things, but I'm fixed on what is true. I'm fixed on what is right. I'm fixed on what God says. According to the National Science Foundation, an average person has about 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts per day. That's a big range. I can tell you from my perspective, I would say the 12 to 15,000 are all men. I think that would probably prove itself out, but that's just my, I'm suspecting that. 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts per day. That's a lot. Of those, some of these studies have shown 80% of the 12 to 60,000 thoughts are negative, and 95% are repetitive. Thinking about, particularly women will do this, where they'll think over and over and over and over and over about a conversation or an exchange with someone. That gets over and over and over. Men aren't as much with that one. They oftentimes have a conversation, forget they even had the conversation. They're not even not thinking about it. It may not even be on the register. Women will often ruminate on those conversations over and over and over and over. Not everyone, but I'm just saying in generalities. But a typical mind, another study, showed 75% thinking on past things. So if it's 75 to 80% or 95% thinking on past things, what happened back behind? That's a lot of time spent on fastening your thoughts on something that has happened in the past. From a conversation to an experience to a torment to a problem to a hurt, something negative, oftentimes, that's a ton of time spent. This is the average person. I think about that related to a car. If you're driving in a car, you know you have windshield, side windows, rearview mirror, side mirrors. Imagine if you spent 75 to 80% of your driving time looking in the mirror and only 15% looking out the front window. What would that driving experience be like? Death. Destruction. Wrecking. Running into everything. That's what would happen. You run into things, you destroy things, you hurt people. If you're only focused on what's behind, the mirrors. It's the same in our lives. That 80 to 95% should not be that way for Christians, for us, for followers of Jesus. This should be thinking of, as the Bible says, on heavenly realities. On heavenly realities, thanking God, not negative, thankfulness, appreciation, praise, glorifying him, thanking our spirit man, praying, tongues coming out. Because as the Holy Spirit prays through us in our tongues that he's given to us, that should be the way that we live and operate. Isaiah 43:18 says, do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. Now, certainly there are things to ponder that are good, but there are also a lot of things that we're not supposed to be thinking about. Where a mind is renewed. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says, we're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You and I are in control of our thoughts. So you can take thoughts captive and bring them to the obedience of Christ. The thoughts that are negative, arrest them. Arrest them, throw them away. And sometimes this is a process. A lot of times, depending on the traumas that people have experienced or the wounds that people have or the unforgiveness that people have, a lot of times those thoughts can be overwhelming and it takes time sometimes to get a hold of those and to learn how to and to practice arresting those thoughts and focusing on the right things, fastening yourself on the right things. But we all are to be in this journey of fastening our thoughts on God, of having our minds renewed. And a huge part of this, of course, is it says by the Holy Spirit. It's giving him full permission to change the way that I think. Giving him full permission to deal with the negative thoughts, the accusatory thoughts, the thoughts that are dark, the thoughts that are sinful, to invite the Holy Spirit. So as we finish today, let's just do that. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to help us. To think about this. What if next year this time we all have renewed minds? Doesn't that sound wonderful? Every person has a renewed mind. That's our invitation. But we can do it right now. So how about, let's close our eyes if you don't mind. You can join me. Let's just invite the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, sent to us to help. Help from heaven. Help came, and his name is Holy Spirit. And he lives inside. And we just take you up on your invitation, Jesus. We take you up on your invitation, Father. We take you up on your invitation, Holy Spirit, to have our minds renewed, to be completely transformed, where we do not resemble who we used to be. And we give you permission here in this operating room. We give you permission, great physician. We give you permission, Spirit of God, who formed who we are, to reform us all the way, to give us your type of thinking, your ways of thinking. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to renew our minds. We open the door. We open the door to our mind to you, Holy Spirit. And we ask that you'd renew it. Renew it. Shake off all the things that have attached itself as barnacles of the world. Shake all those things off. Thoughts that are worldly thoughts. Thoughts that are worldly culture. Shake those things off, Holy Spirit. We ask that you would remove them entirely and give us your kingdom thinking. The way that you think, God, is the way we want to think. And would you grow in us a desire and a hunger for your word We invite you to grow a hunger on the inside of us for your word and your words, for your heavenly realities, that they would grow on the inside, that we would desire them. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would use those words from the word of God and the words of God to transform our minds, to renew our minds, to help our thinking. Give us thought patterns that are like you have, filled with peace. And I just ask even now for each one of us, wherever there are those repetitive thoughts, some of you are perhaps battling with repetitive thoughts that are like a plague, that are harassing you. We break the power of those repetitive negative thoughts in Jesus' name right now and speak a whole sound mind. We receive from heaven, even right now, by you, Holy Spirit, a sound mind, all of us. We want a sound mind. And wherever we have fortresses of thought on the inside that are demonic or worldly or dark or negative, we just confess them and, Lord, say, we don't want those any longer. Forgive us for allowing those to be built. Forgive us for allowing us to live in those thoughts. And we ask for your cleansing and a breaking down of those strongholds of thought, where godless structures have been erected on the inside of our minds. Holy Spirit, crush them, break them, and give us your mind. Give us the mind of Christ. You invited us, you said in your word that we have the mind of Christ. So we receive it even now, just as a gift on Christmas. We receive the mind of Christ, the way to think that you think, Lord. The way to believe like you believe. The way of faith like you have faith. The way of trust like you have with your Father. Holy Spirit, move in our minds, move in our hearts, renew us. And thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.